God does not only allow us to hear in our spirit His voice. We didn't need our ears to hear God, for God is the Spirit that indwells us when we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. As Christians, we know that we have received one of the greatest blessings that is given to the human race. We have received the touch from the Master's hand, a touch from God that gives us hope. We have the hope candle today, or known also as the prophecy candle, because the prophecy of Jesus Christ of what was to come was given to us through men and women that were called by God to lift up God's voice in many different ways within the homes of their own family, around their neighbors. It's the word of God that is lifted up. So God sent the prophets, and God said, prophets, here's what I want you to tell. I want you to tell the story. It's my story. It's my story of creation, my story that I have written through the blood of my only begotten Son. It's my story to give, and I want to give it my story to the greatest of my creation, the human race. Whosoever calls on the name of my Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, says God. Therefore, to them, I want them to hear loud and clear my story for them. For it is God, through the prophecies, that lets us know that He has a plan for every individual life. He has a direction for you. He has carved out of all of history a special time, a special journey, a special path just for you as His special child. All of us are special to God because we have accepted His Son for who He says He is. Not only once we said yes to Jesus did we just accept Him, we know that He lives because He lives within our heart. He lives within us. It is a gift from God. It is a prophecy of God. Go tell the story. And God said, I want you to let them know that now they have the law. They have the rule. They have the Ten Commandments. They have all the regulations that the law can give, can dictate. But you remind them of something. A hope day is coming. That hope day is the day of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hope is on the way. Give them the vision of that hope. Prophets, tell the story. Tell the story that one day a Savior will come. A Savior that the world will not recognize, but they will recognize me because it will be me that is touching on their heart's door. It will be me that is knocking when they come to the door to open it. It'll be me that will stretch out my arms and reach and pull them in. I am their Creator. I am their God. Prophets, tell them the story of my only begotten Son. A Son that has agreed before time began. Nothing was created that is created that Jesus wasn't present for that creation. He did it all because it was God's will. God wanted His Son to feel our feeling, our emotion. Jesus agreed before time began, I will go down and I will feel how humans feel. I will understand pain. I will know about death. I will know about life. I will feel every emotion of every individual that will ever exist. I will deal with every sin that has ever encompassed them. For I am God and my Son is coming. That's what the prophets were telling. The story, Jesus is on his way. The Savior is coming. The King that you talk about, he is on his way. Hope reigns. All that hope is secure, for my hope is in Christ. There'll be no illness. There'll be no wickedness that can overshadow you. There'll be nothing that will have the power to destroy you, because our Savior has come. Prophets, tell them that he's coming. Tell them. Yet, we do know, and I'm sure you'll hear from your pastor for the next few weeks, though they all knew the story, nobody showed up at the birth of Jesus. The angels were there. The glory of God shone all around. The shepherds would come. The Pharisees, the great teachers of the time, they knew the story. But do you know the difference? They didn't place their hope in it. They placed their hope in their knowledge. Oh, I know so much scripture. I know all about the writings. I know what God says. Many know what God says, but they do not know God. Many know the word and can quote the scripture, but they do not know the author of the scripture. That author is the one who loves you. It is the author, God himself, who sent his Son, the hope of the world. In him there will be hope, for man cannot do it on his own. God knew that. That's why before time existed, the plan was set, and Jesus had agreed, I'll go. I will become human so that we, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, can feel and live the human existence. There was a difference that we would learn about. You and I are human and we sin. We fall short. We don't live up to our own expectations. Therefore, we look into our own mind and say, there's no way I could live up to God's expectations. And rightly so. But the truth of the matter is, the hope was coming. I didn't have to live up to it. I have a Savior who did it. The human being cannot handle life by themselves. You cannot conquer life on your own. Well, good gracious, you can't even conquer the common cold. We can't conquer anything on our own. Everything that you have and I have came through hope, promise of the day, the hope for tomorrow, a gift that God gives. Oh, you think your world has collapsed today? I got news for you. As a Christian, you happen to be associated with the one who created all that exists, to include the world and your world personally. It is the gift from God. The King is coming. The prophets proclaimed it. The King of a new covenant. Oh, now you know the rules and you know the regulations. But soon I will personally introduce you. The Holy Spirit of God convicting the heart of man, and man feeling the power of our Creator within us, being under conviction. We say, yes, Lord, I believe. For God has revealed himself to us from within. It is God who said, I will bring you the message that you need. See, each one of us can hear the word from God, but God's word has an individual message for each one of our journeys. Those journeys that we take in life are journeys given to us by God Himself. And God says, I've prepared a way. My Son is coming to guard the way. My Holy Spirit is coming to indwell you and live in you, where nothing us all created will have authority over you, because I give you hope, that great hope and promise. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The time is coming, Jeremiah says, as he's weeping. Remember, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Preached 26 to 28 years, however many it was, without one convert. He wept for a nation that had turned their back on their God, their Father, their Creator, their Giver of life. The whole Jewish nation was made up of the outcast of all the other nations, the vagabonds. God said, I choose these. I choose these, and I will make and build my nation. Yet because we're under the choice of God, does not mean that we, without that regenerated, born again heart, can live and glorify God, for we choose our own path so often. Prophets tell them, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time. That's after this birth, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. You and I are given the blessing and an awesome ministry as Christians to take the good news to the world. See, the world already has the bad news. You already know all the bad news. I bet you even know all the bad gossip of people. But did you know there's good news there? And that good news is, not only is a Savior coming, He's already come. Not only do you have hope, hope is a given to you. Hope reigns supreme with inside of you as you look to the Word of God, and as you look to God as your hope. God blesses your life. He touches your family. Lord, I forgot to pray for someone today. No, you didn't, Larry. I know your heart. When your mind is unable to keep up, did you all know that the greatest problem you have is not losing your mind? The greatest problem you've got with your memory and everything else is this: you got so much on your mind that that brain just cannot process it properly. So God says to you, I'm watching after you. No, I am your mind, says Jesus. I will be there with you. When you forget, that's okay. I'll have a loved one remember for you. I'll make sure that you're taken care of And oh yes, that son, grandson, that family member that you lift up continually in prayer, now you don't ever miss it, because it's me that's watching after him. Do you get that? Do you not understand that's the hope? That's the hope of our existence. It's in who Christ is within us. For we are flawing individuals serving a flawless God. And God says, I want you, prophets, tell them the truth. Give them hope, for it is the hope for tomorrow that'll encourage them to fight for today, to stand up for today. Though the pain is so extreme, I am God. I am awesome. He is our awesome God. He lifts us up. He delivers us. Prophets, you tell them the truth. Jesus, my son, is coming. Let them know this, prophet, that he will be the cornerstone, the stone that holds it all together, the stone of power, the stone they can trust, a stone that deals with all the weight of their life, the cornerstone of the Christian faith is on its way. 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8. For in Scripture it says, that's in Isaiah, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Destiny is given to us by God. But God says, I want you to choose. When you choose my son as Lord of your life, here's your destiny. That's your predestination, if you will. Here's your destiny. If you choose the world, here is your destiny. You can live either one, but I give my creation the freedom of choice. And of the creation that has this freedom of choice, only the human element is given that choice. No other created thing of creation can choose the freedom that God offers. I give to you a free soul. I give to you eternal life. I give to you a plan for your life. I am the one that'll walk your journey with you. When the times are trying, I'm the one that is with you. When you think you can go no longer, I am the one that will lift you up. For you chose me. I chose my son. He came. He died for you. He saw the reality of the human existence, knew the hurt, knew the pain, and knew that you feared something horrible. That fear was death. Therefore, Jesus didn't come just to save you for the here and now. He came to conquer for you for the here and hereafter. He came that you might have life and have it abundantly. He came to give you a promise. Jesus brought the promise from God the Father straight into the heart of the human race. I give to you my Father and all his love. Now you tell me it gets better than that. A gift from God, and I give it to you through the beauty of a baby born in a manger. All the stars twinkled. They shined so bright. All of heaven looked on as man stood in fright. They were afraid to look upon the power that Almighty God had sent. The power since creation. The power that God meant for me and for you. The hope that only he could give. He brought it in his hand. And he brought that love so tender for all the fellow man. He said, I will bring to you and touch your life with such special joy. I'm bringing to you a gift from me, my precious baby boy. It is my son I give to you. Power that is real. The strength that I place in his heart, he's been ordered to give to you to feel the touch of my hand, says God, throughout your days on earth, because I want you to know of your precious worth. It is me, your Savior, your God, the creator of all that exists. I bring to you the joy, and I bring to you the bliss. It's me that's speaking to your heart, touching you in every thought. It's me that's meant to be your Savior, your hope, your thought. God looks to you into the depth of all the pain that's coming in. For God sent his only Son to die for all your sin. It's a gift, God says. Shout it loud and clear, for the Savior has come. I'm so proud of him. That's why I tell you to cheer. For the gift that I give, no man could give. No human God could imagine. But the gift I give to you is a gift where man's not trod. It's a gift to walk with me on high, to follow in my path. I am your God. He's my son. What do you think of that? I love you this much, says God the Father. I care about you like no other. Because of that love that I feel so deep, I give to you the one who will be at your feet, the Savior that'll lift you up, put the shoes on your feet, that'll dress you daily. Oh, that power the world can't beat. You're a winner, says God. I'll give you the strength for every day now is a gift. And you're in every thought that I think. Doesn't matter what the world says or how fearful it might get. I've sent you my son. That's as good as it gets. The Savior of the world is coming. The prophets proclaimed it. Jesus delivered it. And the Holy Spirit controls it within you. See, the Holy Spirit is alive and well inside you. For without the Holy Spirit touching your life and living inside you, you would have too much power as a human. For you've been given the power from on high, the power of God, a power that man can't buy. You've been given it all, but it's a gift from God Himself. And He says, 1 Peter 2:6-8, let me read it again. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen, precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builder rejected had become the capstone, and the stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." The prophets painted a gruesome physical picture of the person of Jesus. Now I want you to understand something. When God touched David, God said, "David is a man after my own heart." I want you to see the picture that God painted for David. "David, you go out and you live life." Well, David did. And in that life, he found all manner of evil. And he was hit with that evil. And it was David in the Psalms that's telling his story that all the theologians all agree on. That's different. That said, this is the prophecy of Jesus to come. And David tells the story or lives out that story. Isaiah 53:2-3. "He grew up before him." Now we're speaking. Now David is saying this. This is his song. You got it? "Like a tender shoot," so did David, "and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him," meaning he was average. He looked like the average individual. Nothing different about him. "Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men." See, David is living this on the run, 10 years hiding in the rocks and the cliffs, telling the story of our Savior to come, the hope of the world. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not," or we never lifted him up, "for we were afraid of man." Everybody was going to desert Jesus at the cross. All those, the mighty 12, they all ran. Why? Because of the human fear. For the power was within them. But they looked on the outside. And when you look on the outside, you don't see hope. You don't see hope in the promise. The hope and the promise live within you. See it and live it and accept it. Psalm 69:7-8. "For I endure scorn for your sake." See, David, King David himself, was scorned because of his stand for God. For he refused to bend the knee to man. He refused to reject God, the God. "Scorn for your sake and shame covers my face. I am a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons." We're told in Scripture that Jesus' brothers, half-brothers, didn't believe in him until after the resurrection. He was scorned by everyone. For you see, they couldn't see the hope inside him, the truth of God the Father. For that vision is given to those who believe, a gift from the hand of God, the mightiness, the power that once received, no man can take from you. It is your destiny as a Christian to see God face to face one day, but you got a job to do now. Go home later. The prophet said that Jesus would protect his children like a shepherd protects his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs to his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. It is the power of the Christ in you that watches after the unborn child, that watches after the born children. And as they grow, it is that awesome gift from God that they follow. In the Holy Scripture, I want to leave you with this fact. In the Holy Scripture, the birth of Jesus, his first advent or his first coming, is eclipsed only by his second advent or the second coming of Christ. Now listen well to this as I close. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the greatest single theme in Scripture. While there are approximately 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that foretold the first coming of Christ, there are more than 8 times as many verses describing his second coming. In total, some 2,400 verses throughout the Old and New Testament reveal God's promise about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You sit back and we wonder, why didn't they believe? And I can look today and say, why don't they believe, Lord? For I assure you, as Jesus came that first Christmas morn, born, and in that cradle, he was cradled by the angels, the power of God. He's the gift of Christmas that never ceases to give. That's the word of God to us today, and it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for the power of your love. We ask now, Father, as you touch our life, you will give us strength, courage, and the boldness to stand strong and true within that love. Let your will be our will as we celebrate during this season the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And we ask this blessing in Jesus' name, and amen.